Today's reading is from Mark chapter 14, verses 66 through 72. So starting in verse 66. And as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with the Nazarene, Jesus." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you mean." And he went out into the gateway, and the rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him, and began to say, and began again to say to the bystanders, "This man is one of them." But he denied it. And after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, "Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." But he began to invoke a curse on himself, and to swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." And immediately the rooster crowed a second time. And Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And he broke down and wept. This is God's word for us. You may be seated.
Good morning. My name is Josh Habman. I'm a pastor here at Grace, and if you thought that was the wrong scripture, you're not wrong. So if you've been following along in our sermon series and reading our study guide that we prepared for you, you know that this is not the right text for today. We had a plan. The plan was Brooks was going to go on vacation for 2 weeks. I was going to preach last week, and Pastor Dave Kirk was going to preach this week, and then Dave broke the plan. No, Dave got sick, so we're going to pray for him this morning. It does not look like it's too serious, but it is going to keep him away from the pulpit this morning. So I'm going to preach the sermon that I was going to preach in 2 weeks today, and then we're just going to switch. So we're going to trust you to be smart enough to follow along. It's going to be rough, but you can do it. And we're just going to go through this passage on Peter's denial a little earlier than we would have otherwise. So I was in a prayer group this morning, and somebody wisely prayed, "God, you know why this had to happen. You know who had to hear this morning, so maybe it's you." So I encourage you to listen this morning and ask what God would have you hear from this. But before we go on, let's pray. Let's pray for Dave and his family, and let's just pray for the ministry of the word this morning. God, we praise you and thank you that you have provided everything we need in the time when we need it. Lord, you knew why this arrangement was better for this morning, and I ask that you would speak through it. Lord, speak through me. Pray that you would be with Dave, that you would heal him, help him to feel better, heal him and just restore him and his family quickly so that they can get on with everyday life and continue the work that they do for you. And Lord, we pray that you would provide for us all this morning out of your word, exactly what we need to hear. We ask it in your name, Jesus. Amen. So we are continuing in the sermon series, Receiving the King, but we're going out of order. I already explained that part. So we are talking about denial and defeat this morning. And yes, we are going to talk about a Savior that forgives. But before we get to the part where Jesus forgives and he restores Peter, because he does do that, he does restore Peter, we need to talk about what does it mean that he denies Jesus? Because Peter is one of Jesus' closest friends. When we talk about denial, we talk about what Zach talked about here just a minute ago, one of his friends deciding that there was no hope, right? There's a whole spectrum, there's a whole range of ways in which you can deny Christ. And we know from the larger story that Peter does not stop recognizing Jesus entirely, but he does get afraid. And he does let that fear come in and rule his heart. So we want to talk about the denial. We'll talk about the defeat that Peter feels, and then we want to talk about our own hearts, how they fail, and what it looks like to have a Savior that restores. So we're going to do that a couple ways. We're going to talk about Jesus knowing our hearts. This should not be a surprise to you. You're here in church this morning. If you haven't heard about Jesus, he's a good guy. You should hear more about Jesus. Keep coming back. Don't base all of your opinions on this morning in this sermon. Keep coming back, keep hearing about Jesus, because Jesus knows your hearts. And you think, well, I don't know if that's a good thing. That's kind of scary. I know what goes on in my heart, right? He does too. We're going to see that this morning. We're going to see that when we deny what we know and what he knows, there are consequences for that. But that's what happens. We will deny what we know to be true, and we will deny what he says is true. That's going to happen. When we deny the truth, we are defeated. We saw that already in the scripture passage this morning, right? Peter heard the rooster crow a second time. He remembered the words of Jesus, and he broke down and he wept. We are defeated in those moments. So reliance and restoration are possible with Jesus. That's the hope, right? That's why we're here as well. That's the hope. So I already prayed once. It's going to cover the rest of the sermon. We'll pray again at the end. We're going to continue. I'm going to backtrack a little bit to Mark 14, verse 26 and through 30, and just remind us of this interchange that Jesus has with the disciples. So this is after the Last Supper. This is actually what I spoke on last week, if you were here. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This is just across the valley from Jerusalem, so it's not too far. It's kind of a short walk. And Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Jesus has been saying this to his disciples again and again. I'm going to die. I'm going to be handed over to the chief priests. I'm going to be handed over to the authorities. They are going to kill me, but I will rise again, and I will go before you into Galilee. He's told them this. He's telling them again so that they can know. They're not going to listen, but he's telling them. He's faithful. He's a faithful witness, just like he wants us to be a faithful witness. He's a faithful witness to them. Peter's not listening, right? Peter is listening only with a heart that is concerned about himself. He says, even though they all fall away, I will not. Imagine this, right? Imagine Jesus is standing there with all 12 of his closest disciples, and Jesus says, you will all fall away. And Peter says, they might, but I'm not going to. Talk about endearing yourself to your friends, right? He's throwing them all under the bus collectively. Yes, Lord, they might, but I won't. You almost know what's going to happen after that, right? And Jesus says, truly I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. So that's the setup, and that's the proof, that's the evidence in this passage that Jesus knows our hearts. He knows the disciples will fall away before they do. He knows that Peter will deny him, and how many times and by what time, even though Peter is in denial about that. And if you believe that God, the maker of heaven and earth, if you believe that he doesn't know what's going on in your heart, then you're in denial. And yet that is exactly what is happening here, right? Peter, who should know who Jesus is, because Peter has said to Jesus, you have the words of eternal life. He said to Jesus, I think that you're from God the Father. I think that you have what we need. But Peter is also saying, you don't know what's best, Jesus. You don't know what's right. I have this little parenthetical here. One of my children, I won't name that child for fear of their embarrassment, but when they were about two or three, they had this practice. They would decide to do something they knew they were not supposed to do. And then they would look at my wife or I and they would say, you know, look at me right now. And then they would try and do the thing that they knew they were not supposed to do, right? They would go right directly to that activity, whether it was putting their finger in an outlet or whatever it was. But you know, look at me right now. This is essentially what Peter is saying to Jesus, right? Don't look at my heart. Just hear my words. Just listen to my words, Jesus. My words say I'm going to follow you right up to death. Don't look at my heart, because my heart actually is doing something else. And yet, this is exactly what Jesus knows needs to happen. He needs to look at Peter's heart. He needs to expose what's in Peter's heart. And he needs to expose what is in our heart, because we will do the same thing. We will be confronted with our sin, and we will deny that it's actually an issue. This will happen. Jesus knows that this is what we need. Peter doubles down. Mark 14, 31. Peter says emphatically, if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And even though Peter has thrown his fellow disciples under the bus, they all say the exact same thing. This is going to be our inclination. Jesus, through his word, through his Holy Spirit, through interactions that you have with fellow believers, he is going to lead you to understand what's going on in your own heart, and you're going to deny that that's the case. We all do this. We all say, no, that's not actually a problem, Lord. That thing that you've pointed out, it's not really an issue. I've got it under control. That addiction, I've got it covered. Right? That failure, don't worry about that. You don't look at me right now. Don't look at my heart. Just listen to my words. I said that I'm going to follow you. Just listen to my words. But Peter denies knowing Jesus, saying, I neither knew nor understand what you mean. And he went out in the gateway and the rooster crowed. The girl accused again in verse 69. And then in verse 70, he denied again. And after a little while, the bystanders there said, certainly you're one of them, for you're a Galilean. They heard his accent, right? They heard Peter talking. They could tell where he was in the country based on the sound of his voice. He said, you're giving yourself away, man. And yet he says, I don't know this man of whom you speak. This is exactly what we find ourselves doing all the time. This is the trouble that we get ourselves into. God is faithful. He is going to use all kinds of people and all kinds of situations to call our attention to the lies that we use to try and distract him, to distract us, to distract our family from what's actually going on. We're denying the truth. And Jesus knows that, and he gives us opportunity after opportunity to say, that's not true, that's not right. He does it with Peter a couple of different times here. He gives him the opportunity to say, what is the truth? And Peter does not do what's right each time. So here's what's happening, right? He is denying what he knows and what Christ knows. So we similarly, we deny what we know to be true. Peter knew that he knew Jesus. He knew that God was in control. He knew that Jesus had the words of eternal life, but he denied all of that because he was afraid of men, because he was afraid of the people around him. He was afraid of what was going to happen to him. He denied those things. He also denies what Jesus knows. Jesus says, you're going to betray me, and it does not occur to Peter while he's betraying Jesus that Jesus was right. Right? He doubled down. He said emphatically, no, I'll never deny you, and then he proceeded to do it right after that. So Peter and the disciples deny that they're going to fall away. Peter denies that he knows Jesus. Peter denies that he's a disciple. I don't know who this man is. I don't know what you're talking about, right? He uses all kinds of different words to convince those around him that he isn't who he actually is. And I don't know where you find yourself doing this. We do this in lots of different ways. When we're young and we're ashamed of our family, or we're ashamed of our clothes, or we're ashamed of something about us, like, we'll make just foolish denials, right? Just silly things. Hey, isn't that your family? No, that's not my family. Didn't you get out of the car just a minute ago with them? No. I don't know them. Right? We'll do all kinds of things. And when we get older, it gets a little bit more complex. We'll make up more complex stories. But we do the exact same thing, where we deny what we know to be true and what we know Christ says is true because we're afraid, because we're fearful of the consequences. We're fearful of people not liking us. We're fearful of people hating us, even. We're fearful of all kinds of things. And so it's tempting for us to deny what we know. And it's even more tempting to deny what we know when we deny what Jesus knows, because Jesus is the truth. He says this about himself. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so if he is the way and the truth and the life, and we're denying him, we're denying what we know to be true because he said it, it's going to be even more tempting for us to deny other things, right? Because we've gotten rid of the source of truth. We've ignored the source of truth. We've said, that's not necessary. And that's where Peter finds himself. And this denial, ultimately, it's going to lead to defeat. So immediately the rooster crows a second time. Peter remembers how Jesus had said to him before the rooster crows twice, you'll deny me three times. And he broke down and he wept. And this is what happens. When we deny the truth, we're defeated. This is the consequence. We don't see it in the small things, right? When you're a little kid and you're denying your family, or when you deny the fact that you can't play a sport, right? Somebody comes to you and says, hey, you play basketball, you play baseball? And you're like, oh yeah, sure I do. You're denying the truth, right? You don't play at all. That was me anyway. I couldn't play anything. And the proof was obvious. As soon as somebody tried to pass me the ball and it hit me in the face, right? Whatever it was, I was defeated. And you have seen this in your own lives. You've seen this when you deny the truth It leads to defeat. This is exactly what's happening with Peter. And he's utterly defeated, right? He breaks down and he weeps. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the story is recounted in almost exactly the same way. In all three of those gospels, we get this same picture of Peter entering this courtyard, the high priest. He's watching kind of from afar as Jesus is questioned by the high priest and by the high priest's family. They're trying to find, finally, something that they can use to hold against Jesus, to commit him for murder. And Peter is standing there just a little ways off. Right? In one of the gospels, it says that Peter, I think it's Luke, Peter and Jesus make eye contact. So they're not that far away. And in all three of these stories, in all three of these accounts, Peter hears the rooster crow and then he breaks down and he weeps because he remembers what Jesus says. And this is where his denial has led him to defeat. But it's not the only version of this story that we get. We also get John's version. And in John, Peter actually disappears for a little while. So the same things happen, right? We still get this interaction where Peter denies Jesus, but then, as far as we know, he kind of runs. He takes off. And the other gospels don't account for this. The next place that we see Peter show up is at the resurrection, when Mary has seen the vision, and then she goes and gets Peter and John, and they come to the tomb. So this is all we know of Peter at this point. From this point forward until the resurrection, we don't know what's going on with him. He's got a day and a half of just wandering. We don't know, right? The scripture doesn't account for it. Peter himself doesn't say. All we know is that he is defeated here. He has broken down here. So this is not a complicated text, right? This is not a difficult thing for us to understand. Often when we talk, when we preach, there's like historical context that you need. You need to understand what's going on in this situation. Last week, I talked about the Lord's Supper. I talked about communion. And there's a lot to unpack there because communion looks like the Passover celebration, but it's not the same. And there's a fair amount to talk about. Here, there's not a whole lot to say except that Jesus is going to die and Peter is denying his friend. And this is something that we don't need historical context for because we understand this. We don't necessarily have friends who are dying that we are rejecting, but we know the truth. If we've heard the words of Jesus, we've heard the truth, and we know what it means to reject the truth, to choose the things that we want instead. It doesn't have to be this way. You will feel defeated if you deny the truth about who you are. That's true. And you will feel defeated if you deny the truth that Christ speaks. And you will be defeated if you continue to deny the truth. But it doesn't have to be this way. And this is something that we need to understand, we need to grapple with, because we think when we're tempted to take the defeat, right? That's the only thing that we have. That's the only thing that we can do. That's the only course that we can go on. I'm guessing that Peter felt that way in the moment. Peter walks into this courtyard and he feels like the only thing he can do is deny Christ, because that would be the safe thing to do. That would be the way that he's going to make sure that he can remain close to Jesus. If I pretend I don't know him, maybe they won't single me out. Maybe they won't arrest me too. It feels like that's the only way I can go. And I know many of you have been in that place as well, where you feel defeated, and if you just deny the truth enough about who you are, it'll get better somehow. Right? What is the truth about who we are? Scripture says that we are created in God's image, men and women both, right? We both bear Christ's image. We're made to proclaim his glory. He calls us out of darkness into light. That's the truth. We will feel defeated if we deny that truth. If we deny the fact that we're made in his image, if we say to ourselves, you're no good, if we say to ourselves, you're worthless, you have no value, right? When we stand in front of a mirror and we say that to ourselves, sometimes we don't even need a mirror. We just have that thought running through our head, you're worthless, you're worthless, you're worthless. No one loves you. The people who love you left you because you're worthless. That's not true. The truth is that you are valuable because God made you, because you bear his image, because he gave you value when he made you, because he loves you. And so if you deny that, you will feel defeated. It's going to happen because it's not true. It's not true that you're worthless, right? It is true that you have value, that you have purpose, and that he loves you. So if you deny the fact that he loves you, you will feel defeated. Christ speaks to us throughout Scripture from beginning to end. I know, pardon me, I know that Jesus is not alive in the text from beginning to end. I understand that Jesus is born at a certain point, but Paul is clear in a number of places in the New Testament that God is working through Christ. The Heavenly Father is working through the Son throughout Scripture, creating all things, making all things, sustaining all things. Read Proverbs. Read just the first 9 chapters and look at all of the things, all of the attributes that are given to wisdom. And this is Jesus. This is Jesus speaking. Look at how the Holy Spirit speaks through the prophets. This is Jesus speaking, calling us to pay attention. And look at Jesus speaking in the Gospels. Look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Listen to all of the things that Jesus says. Some of the very things that the disciples had heard, we also can hear because they're recorded. But if we deny them or if we don't listen to them, we will feel defeated. Jesus is trying to help his followers and his friends understand, here's what's going to happen, right? He's telling them that he's going to die, but in denying him because they're afraid, they forget what he said. And so Peter doesn't have to feel defeated even in his denial, even in saying, Jesus, I don't know you. He doesn't have to feel defeated because he should know that Jesus is dying and coming again because Jesus has told him. But when he denies that, when he denies what Christ says, he feels defeated. And here's what I want us all to hear this morning. You will be defeated if you continue to deny the truth. Peter's going to be restored, and we're going to talk about Peter's restoration in a minute. We're going to talk about John's journey in a minute because it's a little bit different here through this whole process. But you don't have to continue to deny. Right? This morning you have the opportunity to say to yourself and respond to the Holy Spirit and say, I don't need to continue to deny what I know to be true. My value is not from this world. My value is not in what people think of me. Who I am is dependent on who God made me, not how I perceive myself to be. So you do not have to continue to deny the truth. Peter doesn't, right? Peter understands he's broken by this, and we see that Jesus restores him. So Peter does not continue to deny the truth. And if you hear this word this morning, you don't have to either. You do not have to continue in that place of denial and defeat. Christ offers us a way. He actually offers us 2 things, both reliance and restoration. So reliance is another path, right? You can stop denying what you know to be true. You can stop denying what Jesus says to be true throughout Scripture and start to rely on him today. That's something that you can do right now. John 18 and John 21 tell the story from John's perspective. It's the exact same story, but it's from John's perspective. And we find out in John that the reason that Peter and John are able to go into this courtyard is because John has a relationship with the high priest family. They know who he is. Okay, so John has name recognition that gets them into that courtyard. And so we see here that John is not denying that he knows Jesus. John is, in fact, trading on his name to get them close to Jesus. Not only that, but John apparently does not deny when questioned, right? He is recognized as a disciple. The servant girl there tries to identify Peter with John and with Jesus, and that's where Peter starts to deny. But John chooses the path of reliance. It's Peter who has to be restored because he chooses to deny Jesus. So both reliance and restoration are possible. So to rely on Jesus, you have to embrace the truth. We don't know exactly what that situation looked like for John. He doesn't give us the complete story. When Peter was doing this, I was doing that. We don't know, right? The Gospel of John doesn't say. What it says, however, about John is that John stays close. More than any of the other disciples, we don't know exactly what happens to the other disciples at the crucifixion, but we know that John is there. We have the record of Jesus on the cross talking. He's being tortured and he's being killed, right? And Jesus says, hey, John, you need to take care of my mom. She's going to be like your mother now, and Mary, this boy is going to be like your son now, and he's going to provide for you. So we know John is there. John does not run away in the same way. Now, he might run away. Jesus said that they would all fall away, and so maybe there's a period there where John does, but he makes it back by the cross. And so John is recognizing the truth of what Jesus says. He's recognizing the truth of who Jesus is. John is the first one to hope when Mary comes back with the testimony that Jesus has risen. John runs, right? Peter and John both go, and John runs faster. John is motivated. He wants to believe. And so John is relying. He's embracing the truth. Jesus says that we're sinners, so confess your sins and repent. This is something that John had to do. This is something that Peter has to do in order to be restored. This is something that we need to be close to Jesus. And understand, at Grace, we teach grace. This is the only work that's required of you to believe. It's just to believe. Believe that in repenting and confessing your sins and accepting Christ, that's it. That's what is required of you. If you're going to change your life, do it because Christ has saved you. Don't do it to earn salvation. Because there is never enough doing. You could always be doing more. And that will lead you in a negative feedback loop to the place where you're denying the truth, where you're starting to question your identity and your value. So don't understand Jesus to say you must earn your salvation, because he doesn't. He just says, repent of your sins. Turn around. Stop doing the thing that you've been doing and follow me. He's coming again. He tells his disciples this. He says, after I am raised up, I'm going to die. After I'm raised up, I'm going to go before you to Galilee. We'll meet there. He tells them that. He tells us that. His disciples tell us that. You can believe that. This is how you rely on Jesus. Daily reminding yourself that this man lived, died, and lives again. Daily reminding yourself that you do not have to die. Not forever. But you can live with him forever, eternally. He says, you can do this. This is the gift that I offer you. But if you've denied, as Peter did, you can be restored. And so I do want to turn here. I want to turn to John chapter 21, and I want to read this, because this is hard. This is the end of John. This is how the book ends, in fact. Jesus has appeared to his disciples just as he said he would. And up until this point, as far as we know, there's been no conversation between Peter and Jesus about what happened, about Peter's denial. So we don't know that they've gone over this yet, but we know it's hanging in the air between them, right? It's the elephant in the room. It's probably bigger than an elephant at this point. Peter denied Jesus, and yet Jesus not only died for his sins, but rose again. So starting here at verse 15 in chapter 21, it says, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus was cooking breakfast for the disciples on the beach. They were out in a boat. They come in, they eat with Jesus. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. So Peter denied Jesus once, and Jesus asked him once, do you love me? And he says, yes, Lord, I do. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter denied Jesus twice, and Jesus asked him again, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to them the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? How many times did Peter deny Jesus? Three. How many times did Jesus ask, do you love me? Three. He's restoring every time, right? Every time that Peter denied, Jesus is restoring. He says, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Do you hear what Peter confesses there? That Jesus does know the truth. Lord, you know everything. The reason that Peter was denying was because he stopped believing that Jesus knew the truth. He stopped believing that what Jesus had said was true. If you think about it, that's hard as well. If Peter had believed that, if Peter had believed that he was going to deny, that would have been a hard thing also. Should he have just done it then? It's like fate, right? He can't escape it. Peter, well, I guess Jesus said I'm going to deny, so I'll just deny him then. Here's the thing. When God tells us what we will do because of our sin, he is giving us the opportunity to rely on him. He is giving us the opportunity to trust. He says, this is where you're going. Just like us, just like my wife and I with our child, right? When we said to our child, don't do that. I see you about to put your finger in that outlet. I see you about to smack your brother upside the head. Don't do that. We do not have to turn to God and say, don't look at me. We can say, oh, then I don't have to do that? I can choose not to do that? John may have denied Jesus at one point, but we see him get back there by the cross. And John heard these same words that Peter heard. And I think that these are the two paths that Scripture wants to show us, that we can rely on him or we can be restored to him. But to be restored to him is hard. It's good, but it's hard because see here how Peter has to answer for each one of these denials. He has to reaffirm to Jesus, I love you, I love you, I love you. Is it so that Jesus can feel good about himself? No. It's so that Peter understands, you have done this, and yet I love you. Because each time Jesus is saying, now go and do what I've called you to do. Feed my sheep. Love my sheep. Care for these. So Peter is a little bit bothered, right? He says, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. But Jesus says to him again, feed my sheep. So Jesus is still going to use Peter, still going to work through his life, still going to glorify himself in Peter. And he goes on to talk about how Peter's going to die, how he's going to die, how John is not going to die in the same way. Ultimately, what this passage is teaching us about Peter's denial, though, is that Jesus is going to embrace him. For every time that he denied Christ, he's going to be offered forgiveness and the opportunity to love Christ again. And so we can love him and love him and love him. This is also open to us. I want to tell you today that you don't need to live in denial and defeat. This is something that we are going to be tempted to do. We are going to be tempted to live in denial and defeat because it will feel like we can't get out. Once we start denying what we know to be true, we make all kinds of excuses and we make all kinds of choices that are bad for us because we know that we've denied the truth once and then we need to lie or we need to deny to cover it up and to do it again. And it just starts a cycle. But you don't have to live there. If Jesus' closest friends could abandon him and be restored, then certainly you can as well. You have not had the same opportunity that they've had, right? You didn't get to walk this earth with him. You didn't get to be with him in the flesh. They did, and they chose to deny him, and they were restored to him. Even Peter, who was emphatic, who said, those people might, I won't, he did. And yet Christ restored him to himself. So you also. This mission that Jesus gave to his disciples, it's the same one that he gives to us. We see it at the end of Matthew. He says, I want you to go and I want you to make more disciples. I want you to teach them to obey everything that I've commanded. I want you to baptize them. I want you to call them to follow me, just like you've been called to follow me. So this is the same mission that we have. That's an extra slide. You don't need that one. Last minute, promise. So that's the application. That's the choice that you have, the opportunity that you have. This morning is to choose to follow like John chose or to choose to be restored like Peter chose. When we read this passage in John chapter 21, it's easy to think, well, man, that's kind of hard, right? That's kind of difficult. Why did Jesus make Peter go through that? But Jesus knew that that's exactly what Peter needed. And that's really what all of us need as well, is to choose restoration, because that's what Christ is offering. Jesus dies and he rises again, and they're only beginning to understand in John chapter 21. They don't fully understand yet because they're still surprised when he ascends into heaven. Right? And the angel has to tell them to stop staring up into heaven and go and do what he said. But they're beginning to understand that there is everlasting hope, that there's true restoration, that they can have everlasting life with Christ. So they're beginning to see that. And you can begin to see that right now today. Maybe you're well past the stage of reliance. You think, there is no way that I'm ever going to be reliant on Jesus the way that John was. I could never go and stand at the foot of the cross. But you can also be like Peter, and you can be restored to him. So we're going to sing now. We're going to praise God for that restoration and for that cross. And then I'm going to come back up here and we're going to close the service. The reason that we gather every Sunday is because we know that we're defeated. And we know that we have hope. We don't gather just to dwell on our defeat. There are lots of other ways that we can do that, and none of them ultimately provide what we need. But I encourage you this week, if you have been restored, to share it. I was reminded this morning of the power of testimonies. And it's good to hear from our brothers and sisters when we have been restored, when the blood of Jesus has redeemed us. So if you have been restored, if you have been healed physically or spiritually, if you have been brought back from depression and defeat and destruction, tell, share. This is the hope that we have. This is why we're gathered, because Jesus Christ saves. Amen? Let's pray. How marvelous and how wonderful it will be to see you, Jesus. I want desperately for that day to be today. I pray often, come quickly. You know this, Lord. You hear my words because you're good, because you're listening. Help me to hear your words today. I pray, Lord, that I would not deny you when I'm chosen, when I've chosen my flesh, when I've chosen comfort, and when I've chosen the fear of man, and when I've chosen all of the things that lead me to death. I pray, Lord, that you would restore me as you restored Peter, as you've restored so many. Lord, thank you for healing. Thank you for the healing of my own family. My daughter and my sister healed from cancer. Lord, my friends saved and brought into everlasting life. My children choosing to walk in your steps. Lord, none of these things I've made, but you have given me all these gifts. And I praise you and I thank you for them. And I pray, Lord, that you would help me to choose to rely on you today. Help us all to choose to rely on you today. I ask it in your name, Jesus. Amen. Have a good week. Go in grace.